a social slime. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they max so chrome brain. They burn the kids, no one lives gun. Trees, lie to your face. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre from rape. They burn the kids. No one leaves gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens, and this is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, 27th of September. And I think where I'm going to start tonight is Michael Schmidt, the raw milk farmer advocate from Durham, Ontario, was in court yesterday and today, and we have an update here on the bovine of what happened in court yesterday. And I wasn't able to get there yesterday or today, although I've been talking to Michael, and I'm just going to run through this a little bit. So the court is this is regarding Michael Schmidt, his wife Lisa, ARCOFOF, and the Christian Community Church. And I think that's where he dropped some milk off in North York or New York region. Anyways, the story goes, lately it seems that every year about this time something big goes down on the raw milk scene in the farm share country around Michael Schmidt. Last year it was the October 22nd, 2015 raid on the farm in which the threatened removal of critical milking machines and other equipment by authorities was stayed only by a crowd of supporters blocking Michael's driveway at the farm, willing to put themselves at risk of being arrested and charged. Five of them were later charged. Also last year about this time, there were run-ins with York Region public health officials at the Blue Bus drop-off site at a church in Thornhill. At one point, the inspectors reportedly wanted to confiscate all the farm share's milk, but settled for taking samples, presumably to prove that the milk products were really raw. This year, the excitement is around two full days in court, September 26, 27th in Newmarket, Ontario, for the entertainment of motions related to the applications by Ontario Milk Director and by the Region of York seeking to criminalize the continued operation of what they're calling a milk plant at the farm, as well as the activities distributing the milk and related products to members and even the advocating of the consumption of raw milk. These applications, which are being heard in court now, that was yesterday, are the outcome of the raids that took place last year about this time. The parties named in the application for injunctions are the Agricultural Renewable Cooperative, the Christian Community Church, Marcus Schmidt, which is Michael's young son, Elsa Van De Hoot, which is Michael's wife and Michael Schmidt, as well as any Jane Doe or John Doe who traffics in or advocates raw milk. The church, ARC, and Marcus Schmidt are represented by lawyer Davin Chahorny. Lisa and Michael are representing themselves. The first motion heard on September 26th was regarding a request by our farm, our food cooperative to be granted intervener status in the proceedings. This request was agreed to by lawyers for York Region and the milk director. However, a related motion to have Lewis Skip Taylor represent the co-op in the proceedings did attract some resistance and opposition, usually a corporation, and the cooperative is a corporation, is required to appear in court represented by a lawyer, although with the court's leave, a non-lawyer may be allowed to represent the corporation. Depending on a number of factors which were discussed in detail, Mr. Taylor's case, both by Mr. Taylor and by the lawyer of York Region, the judge did not appear to have made a decision yet on this question. The next motion, which was heard by the court, was a request to convert the application by York Region and the milk director into actions. The conversion into an action would mean that the case could be decided by a jury rather than a judge. And there's a lot of discussion about that. And the fact is, if you are not in front of a jury, you're not in a court of law. It's that freaking simple. So they're trying to push it up to the jury. And the beauty of the jury is the jury can look over the evidence, not only of this case, but over the last 20 years of the persecution of Michael Schmidt and his people. And they can strike down the law, the legal part of the law. They can strike it down. And so this is a good thing. So let's see. The lawyer, Davin Chahorny, spent much of the afternoon on the 26th putting forward arguments in favor of this motion. However, the other parties at the court have yet to weigh in on the matter. We can look forward to several more hours of argument and discussion on this motion tomorrow, which is today, on which the date the court will commence at 9:30 and probably continue till 4:30. According to Michael and Lisa, there has been interest expressed in covering this story by Global TV, CBC News, Global Mail newspaper, so on. Unlike the last time, there was no rally or demonstration and no cow being milked on the court steps. That's what they did last time. There were about 50 farm share members and supporters on hand when the court proceedings got underway around 11 on the 26th. There will still be a few empty spaces and the courtroom 401 down in Newmarket. Now, I'm going to stick this in here because there's a picture here of lawyers for York Region, which have been pounding on Michael. And they're even attempting to steal his farm now, heading home after a long day at the raw milk case. Boxes full of weighty evidence. There was another such legal team in court on behalf of Ontario's milk director, who is also party to one of the applications for injunctions against the continued production and distribution of raw milk at the Glencoton Farms. Now, I was going to throw this in, not so much for the story, just so you can take a boo at the bottom of the story, at the boxes and boxes of paperwork that these two lawyers are dragging with them. And apparently there's a whole bunch more boxes, which would be with the milk director's boys. This is, I guess there's that old term, death by a thousand paper cuts. And that's what they're trying to do with Michael. They're trying to bury him in paper. But he's a pretty good swimmer. So we'll see what happens. Now, I did get a call from Michael. I don't know what time it was. I wasn't even up yet. They would have been up early because I had to drive back to Newmarket. But I did get a call from Michael today, this morning at some hour. And I'm really interested to find out. I'm looking for an update right now because I'm really interested to find out what the hell went on there today. Because we passed some stuff around, and he phoned me up this morning and asked if I was coming down because they were going to have some fun down there today. And he was almost giggling. So I'm not exactly 100% sure what the heck he's up to today. But they plan on having some fun, which is good. Now, the one thing about legal and law, I've been saying it forever. Most of the people that hang out around here get it. An awful lot of people don't get it. But legal ain't law, and law ain't legal. They're oil and water. You can't get them further apart. They're at opposite ends of the spectrum. You can mix them all you want, but they're going to separate because they are not anywhere close to being in the same room. And so I had looked up, if I can dig it out now, and I'd sent this to Michael. Now, we've been talking this stuff for a long time, but okay, must be back down. Okay, here we go. No, it's okay. First off, what I want to say first off is that the rule of law, I've said this before. Okay, first of all, our Constitution says in the preamble, based on the principles and supremacy of God. And then it says, and the rule of law. The rule of law is the legal part of this, okay? So they're always trying to make them sound the same, and the rule of law. That makes it sound like they're attached to the same. They're not the same. They're exact opposites of one another. So that's the preamble. And it says that specifically because the Queen took, or not the Queen, Elizabeth took the oath on the King James Bible to uphold the law as per. So that's why it's based on the principles and supremacy of God, because that's who created man and that's who gave us law. Man created human and gave us legal, both color of, similar to, like, but not law or man. So that was the deception. Now, it says here that the rule of law is an ambiguous term. It means it doesn't mean anything. If you can't give it a definition and it's ambiguous, then it's just junk, basically. But at the bottom here, it says, no written law may be enforced by the government unless it conforms with certain unwritten universal principles of fairness, morality, and justice that transcend human legal systems. So no law, and that's what the Divine Right of Kings was about. They had to abide by the law. But then along came the lawyers and the bankers. And then we got legal. But they're totally different, and I'm going to tell you why they're totally different. Now, I was rooting around last night, and I'll come up with the word lawful. So slam that in this dictionary. It's a legal dictionary. And it goes on a bunch of stuff. But down here, the term lawful more clearly suggests an ethical content than does the word legal. The latter merely denotes compliance with technical or formal rule, whereas the former usually signifies a moral substance or ethical permissibility. And this is where the big difference between legal and law lies. An additional distinction is that the word legal is used as a synonym of constructive, while lawful is not. Legal fraud is fraud, implied by law, or made out by construction. But lawful fraud would be a contradiction in terms. Legal is also used, this is the important part, legal is also used as the antithesis of equitable and just. Well, the antithesis is opposite of, okay? Now, we know that the legal system is an adversarial system. We know that if we look up the word adversary, we're going to come up with the word Satan. We know that in the old days, the apprenticed attorneys, they practiced deviling. So we know what the legal system is, and it says both in the rule of law and here that law is equitable, just, and moral. And legal, being the antithesis of law, is not equitable, it is not just, and it is amoral. And that's why you need a frickin' jury. It also says in the Bible that the Queen or the Elizabeth took the oath on, it says, let no man judge you. It also says, don't get deceived. So we got deceived and we're being judged by a man who we don't know where he's been that night, or we don't know his family problems, we don't know his mental state. And that's why no man can judge you. So they're pushing now to get this thing moved into a jury trial, which would be a big step forward, because a jury trial is just, equitable, and moral. That's a hell of a lot better place to be than not equitable, not just, and amoral. You don't want to be there. Now, when you follow antithesis across in etymology, what you eventually end up with is the word parasite, those feeding on someone else. Well, that is the legal system. Okay, everything they bring through the legislature is to create cash flow, and they're feeding on you. So they are parasites, and that's what you get when you follow the word through. Now, I was really surprised when, where have I got that open here? I get so much junk open. Where is that? Below here? Above here? Where is it? Here we go. Okay, so we look up antithesis. What's it say? An opposition or contrast of words or sentiments occurring in the same sentence. And that's what that's an opposition or contrast of words. And that's what they do. Right on the Law Society of Upper Canada's page, it says it's illegal to practice law with a license. Those are two contrasting words or sentiments occurring in the same sentence, as to get people to believe it means the same thing. It does not. Antithesis, the exact opposite. Okay, so legal is the exact opposite of law, which I've been saying for as long as I can remember. Well, not really true, I can remember quite a ways, but it's been a hell of a long time anyways. So we have some, juxtaposition of contrasting words or ideas to give a feeling of balance. Again, mixing those words legal and law all the time. Constantly mixing those words so people think they mean the same thing when in actuality they mean the exact opposite of one another. And that's one of the big deceptions. Now, I think it's this word here. But look, this word up here. No, that's not it. Well, anyways, there's a whole swack. Oh, yes, it is. Okay. One of the words here that goes with antithesis is antipathy. Contrary or opposition in feeling, subtle aversion or dislike, repugnance, distaste, and invertitate against particular nations, and passionate attachments to others are to be avoided. And that's from Washington. Number two, natural contrariety, incompatibility, repugnance of qualities, as oil and water have. And that's what I've been saying. That freaked me out when I saw that, because I've been saying for so long that legal and law are like oil and water. And damn it, here I'm reading this in the old Webster's dictionary last night, or the night before, I guess. And there it is, oil and water, and as legal and law. And so that's what we got. We've been snookered. And the legal system is a system that is not real. Okay, the whole damn legal system is nothing but fantasy world. They make up these stupid rules and regulations and take away your God-given rights, and then they take away your labor for everything you got to pay them for all their legal nonsense. And it's the lawyers. The lawyers run the show. Make no mistake about it. Every rule, regulation, statute, code that you seemingly are bound by, where'd it come from? The legislature? No, it came from the lawyers. And it's written in a language that the layman can't understand. Legal jargon used to deceive and gain an upper hand. The legal system is the corporate system. And who always gets the upper hand over us? The corporations. What's the government? It's a corporation. So we're enslaved to the corporation. And they can change the rules, regulations, any damn time they want. And they do it. And that's no damn good for nothing. Now, a lot of people in this country seem to believe that for whatever reason, because it's told to them. You know, I've been telling people for many years that the United Nations is one dangerous, dangerous bunch of buggers. And I was always getting this from people just up until quite recently, that, oh, the United Nations is just a toothless body. What are you bitching about the United Nations for? Now, that's more just, you know, shut up and don't look at the United Nations or who made it in that. But finally, people are finally taking a good hard look at the United Nations and understanding exactly what that thing is and who put it together and the reason they put it together. And so now we're getting some reasonable pushback against that particular entity, which is about bloody time, you know. I still think America just ought to walk up to that place and vacate it, turn it into apartments for the homeless and the vets in the area, because that would be a much more positive use of that particular land and building than what's it's previously being used for, because it's being used to take down what used to be the greatest nation on the planet. And you know, I'm hoping that people go there someday, or at least go there and straighten out the barrel on that damn revolver. That would be a big start, you know. Let them know that you know. Just go take down that crooked gun and put up a straight one, and aim it at the damn building. That should get their attention, hopefully. Now, in Ontario here, I just saw a thing go by a while ago that apparently the Liberal government here in Ontario has canceled some FIT contracts for some more wind energy. And we're producing more energy than we need, because we don't manufacture anything here anymore. And we knew that years ago that we didn't need more power. We were going to need less power because everybody vacated out of here and went to China and other Eastern countries where the labor is dirt cheap and the working regulations are bad and all the rest of it. And so I said this before as well, that to all you green eco fools out there, it's time to rub the stupidity out of your eyes. Have a look around. You've been used for a purpose. Your purpose has about come to an end. Because this is about global corporate government, not saving the planet. So while you guys have run around, girls and gals have run around, you know, and coal's bad, fossil fuels are bad, this is bad, that's bad, it's all, it was never about the environment. The environment was simply a mechanism in order to push the real program forward. So now we have the Ontario Liberals canceling some wind or some renewable energy stuff, and which doesn't work anyways. But that was all about privatization of our electricity business. And it was done in such a fashion that you didn't notice. Now we are not paying as much attention to the environment. We've got the light transit systems all underway everywhere, so we don't have to worry about pushing that idea anymore. It's been pushed. We have our turtle crossings up now. We have our dog walks up now. We have most of our bicycle paths up now. So there's no real need for you green people anymore. We're pushed to get you out of your cars still, and then you can, either use a turtle crossing get on your bike path, which will be a little difficult to use here in Ontario in the wintertime. In fact, you're going to have about 6 months of lousy biking once it gets you out of your cars. But you green people, you don't think very well. You get caught up in all this stuff, but then you were taught it in school and you were taught it in college and university and never bothered to ask the question. You just went along with the program. And like Brzezinski said, it would take 2.5-3 generations to get us there, and you people be too stupid now to even put up a fight. So while we're canceling wind projects in Ontario, we have, and it says that thing is supposed to be, the announcement is supposed to be made around 6:30 or something, but that would be 9:30 on the East Coast. So I'm probably not going to get an update before this show ends. So on the one side, it was all about green energy and all about saving the environment. But on the other hand, not so much now that we got where we want to get to. So the Liberals are going to decide on a controversial natural gas project. It is seen as a litmus test for the Trudeau government. Now, while we've been encouraged not to use fossil fuels here, and we're being carbon taxed to the ass and all the rest of it, Liberals to decide on controversial natural gas project seen as a litmus test. The project would produce more than 5 million tons of carbon dioxide a year, creating a conundrum for the environmentally friendly Liberal government. Richmond, B.C. Now, Richmond, B.C. is kind of a, we'll just call it a suburb of Vancouver now. And back, I don't remember which year it was, John was still my host on Orion Talk Radio, so it's a while ago. But in Richmond, B.C., they put a humongous stainless steel bust of Stalin. It was Lenin. It was either Stalin or Lenin. I don't remember. One of the two, anyways. Could have been Lenin, maybe. Probably Lennon. Big, huge bus. They had big cranes and everything in there. And with a smaller Mao sitting on, I think it was Lennon's head. While the influx of Chinese started pouring into the West Coast, buying up all the land and the properties, driving everybody into poverty and not being able to afford their rents or own their homes anymore. And so everything goes as it goes. But anyways, Richmond, B.C., three federal cabinet ministers are en route to Richmond, B.C., where they will announce later today whether the Liberal government is approving a controversial liquefied natural gas project. The proposed $36 billion Pacific West Northwest Link project is seen as a litmus test of the Trudeau government's various pledges on environmental stewardship, Indigenous reconciliation, and energy resource development. The liquefied natural gas processing plant on Leelu Island near Prince Rupert, B.C., would ship 19 million tons a year of frozen liquefied gas to markets in Asia. Wait a minute. We're not allowed at the same time. This is at the same time that the mayor and the council in Vancouver want to reduce by 2020, which is only 3 years away, 2020, they want to reduce by 75% the use of natural gas in the Vancouver area. And by 2030, I think it is, they want to reduce it by 90%, and then by 2050, reduce it down to zero. So we've shut down all our coal plants, and now the mayors want to shut off the gas for us here, even now that they have privatized our most of our generating capacity. Those who have control of it now, and this all came out of Enron, make no mistake about it, this energy plan came out of the United Nations, more strong, but the actual development of it came out of Enron. And I've got all kinds of emails regarding that that proves it was Enron. Anyways, so we're going to ship out 19 million tons a year of frozen liquefied gas to markets in Asia. Why? Because they need it, because we sent all our manufacturing there. They also happen to have built 500 coal plants without scrubbers on them. So all you green twits out there, pull your heads out of your behinds. You've been had. You're going to have to face reality sooner or later. Now here you have the Liberals who are supposed to be so, so green. But the money's in Asia, and they want our fuel. No different than Australia, who cut a $60 billion 20-year deal with China to ship coal out of Australia over to China to fuel the coal plants for what? Cheap energy to build us our cheap trinket products with cheap labor. And Maurice Strong said, nobody can compete with us because we got the cheapest labor on the planet. And now they're about to have the cheapest fuel sources. Basically have the only fuel sources. Because you sure as hell can't produce steel from wind and solar. That's a total impossibility. So where does that leave us? In a very precarious position. Anyways, go on here. The project is also expected to produce more than 5 million tons of carbon dioxide a year, creating a for a Liberal government that has made combating climate change a cornerstone of its political identity. A group of six First Nations in the Skeena River Corridor have issued a preemptive release stating federal approval of the project would benefit no one and requires more consultation. The draft assessment of the Link project was released in February by the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency and found the project was likely to cause significant adverse environmental effect. The announcement by Energy Minister Catherine McKenna, Natural Resources Minister Jim Carr, and Fisheries Minister Dominique LeBlanc, taking place tonight in Richmond, B.C., comes a week before a key federal provincial meeting on developing a pan-Canadian climate plan. Now, will they pass it today, tonight? Possibly. Will they put it off for a little while? More than likely. Are they going to turn it down flat? I would be bloody surprised. Because we need natural resources to get sold in order to survive. And besides that, that's the big plan. Now, at the same time, most Canadians have been told, just like they were told that the United Nations is a toothless body, what are you even looking at them for? And that the Queen is merely a ceremonial entity and has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with Canada. And we are a self-sufficient, independent nation. And I've been telling people for as long as I can remember, no. No, 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 no. The Queen is head of state. When you say Canada, you actually mean the Queen. And the Queen is at the apex of the political and legal systems, which is at the top. She is above, or the crown and the queen are above the prime minister. He is the prime minister of the Queen Crown Corporation. He looks after business, basically. But he ain't the boss. So, you know, here we go. Prince William and his lovely little wife and kid or kids showed up in the Queensland to hang out on the West Coast. For whatever reason, they showed up here. But anyways, Prince William spoke today, that was yesterday, about the need to protect the environment as he dedicated a British Columbia rainforest to an initiative started by the Queen to recreate a network of conservation programs across the Commonwealth. Okay? Now, the Queen is just another member, basically, of the United Nations doing the bidding of. This is about building the final empire. Okay? This is the final empire that they're trying to build. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge visited the Great Bear Rainforest on BC's central coast on a dry day when their itinerary was blown apart by the weather. Plans to show off the area around Bella Bella was scuttled by pouring rain and high winds, choppy water. The royal couple were in the area to experience indigenous culture in the small First Nation community and officially pronounced the Great Bear Rainforest part of the Queen's Commonwealth canopy. The initiative was launched last year to create a network of forest conservation programs involving all 53 countries in the Commonwealth. As part of the network, regions can share ideas and innovations about forest conservation and receive global attention for their efforts. Isn't this great? Earlier this year, the province and the coastal First Nations, including the Helstic, announced they would increase protection of the area, conserving 85% of the forest areas from industrial logging. William lauded the effort to protect the area as an example of what connects Commonwealth countries as they share the benefits of Canada's knowledge and expertise in managing forests. Well, it wasn't that many years ago that we were clear-cutting the forest out in the West Coast. I was living out there when it was going on. And anybody with a half sense knows that anybody that understands forestry the last thing they would do is be clear-cutting. The reason they were clear-cutting is to damage the environment on purpose, as per plan, because if they had continued to log the way they'd always logged, then there would be no concern about the environment. Okay, so they got a clear cut to get everybody all spooked, get David Suzuki running around, and oh my God, look what they're doing to the forest. Well, they already had the rules in place. I mean, they were clear cutting right up to the rivers and that, okay? So then you get it silted, then the salmon ain't running. Well, anybody in any usable governmental department would never let that happen. But it was, what do you call those things? An inside job, okay, to cause destruction to the environment and so that they could use the environment to move their programs forward, one of them being conservation, which is nothing more than taking the land out of the hands of the people who live there. But this idea that the Queen has is just ceremonial. So this ceremonial, she didn't even show up. She sent her grandkids, shows up, and says, oh, by the way, the Queen has decided we're going to dedicate this big chunk of ground here, and nobody can touch it. And isn't that wonderful, people? The Queen cares about the environment. The Queen cares about the... Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it's not wonderful. It's a crock of nonsense. But then everything that's going on is a crock of nonsense. So we had the Queen come in, or the kids come in, and dedicate this big chunk of rainforest. Take it off limits. The natives seem happy. I don't know why the natives would be happy seeing royals running around, because wasn't it the royals that genocided the natives in the first frickin' place? So, people have short memories, I suppose. Or the leadership is just as corrupt as every other leadership, which we already know the native leadership is, in fact, just as corrupt as all the other leadership. And so we'll be interested here to see what's going to happen with this Ling Depot that they wish to ship frozen natural gas over to Asia. Meanwhile, I don't, what's it take for people to get any of this stuff? You know, I mean, You got your mayor's shutting down your use of natural gas, which is by far the cheapest out there to use for heating and air conditioning and running appliances and all that stuff. He wants to shut down 75% of the usage of it in 3 years. Meanwhile, they're shipping the shit to Asia so they can run the factories, so you can buy your latest, greatest little piece of junk from Canadian Tire or the local homeware store, home hardware store or something. And now we have this, we got the mayor taking away the gas. We've got the queen's kids, her grandkids taking away the land. And now tonight the ministers and the PM have to make a decision as to whether or not they're going to go ahead and ship the, natural gas off the shore of British Columbia. It'll be interesting. Now, as far as the police are concerned, they're the good guys. I see an RCMP top guy just resigned out west after they started an investigation. I see in southern Ontario the head of the Crime Stoppers unit just got busted. I think it was $2.2 million worth of weed. And so that's a bit of a kerfuffle. We see another cop was running a unlicensed girl op. How do we take any of this stuff seriously? Right? You know? Meanwhile, the cops are out there pulling people over, giving them traffic tickets, sticking their hand in their pocket, wasting their time, taking their money, dragging them to court. Meanwhile, the police in general are completely AWOL. And there's rules for them and rules for us. And none of these guys are going to get any more than a slap on the wrist. And if you got caught with $2 million worth of weed, I think you would be in a serious amount of trouble. But I doubt these guys are going to go away for any period of time, so to speak. What have we got for silly news here? I really want to know what happened. I should almost try and play that. I don't know if I can play that into the mic or not. What Michael told me this morning, it was just short. But he seemed pretty happy about it, so I just have to be cool. I phoned last night, but he wasn't home yet from Newmarket, and I didn't expect that he would call me last night because he'd get in late. And he told me this morning they got in late and they still had paperwork to do for today because it's a fair ride back to Newmarket from where he lives. They didn't exactly bring the court up too close to him. I don't know. Oh, I see Hulk Hogan. Has nothing to do with anything, of course, but I'll talk about anything before I will talk about the great debate last night. I went to get a coffee today, and every freaking Canadian newspaper in that place had them two clowns plastered on the front page. So I was making a coffee, and this other guy came over to make coffee in the Toronto Sun with him, which would be the pro-Trump newspaper in Canada. He says, "Geez, what do you think about this?" I says, I don't pay any attention to it whatsoever. First of all, I don't live in America. And even if I did live in America, I wouldn't be paying any attention to it. But you seem interested in it. You bought the newspaper. Well, yeah, and I watched the debate last night. Well, you're a real sucker for punishment. So I said, how did the clown show go? And that was basically it. They've been in this mode for so long they're having a hard time shaking it loose from their brains. It's the same pattern. They run on these same patterns all the time. I guess it's what you call a habit, but it's ingrained into them. And they have a hard time shaking that loose. I know what. I got a really interesting call last night from a guy just east of Thunder Bay, and he found out what happens when you ask questions. He was questioning the smart meters, and I guess he ruffled a few feathers as I did, and he found himself without any electricity as I did. Luckily for him, he had enough money, I guess, or board or whatever, to get off the grid and say goodbye to the hydro system. Whereas I live in town, and if you try to get off the grid in town, they will condemn your home. Because if you're not hooked to the grid, well, that's money lost, and they don't like that. They, on one hand, tell you to go and get solar panels and put them on your roof and all this kind of stuff. But if you try to go completely off grid, they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks because they need the money. They want the money. So we have to quit doing what they want us to do. Now, here's something else. I don't do this, but a lot of people do it because it seems to be popular now. And that's vaping. New rules would be part of government's long-term tobacco strategy. Now, this is how stupid legalism is. New rules will be part of the government's long-term tobacco strategy. Well, nobody, when you're vaping, you're not using tobacco. But hey, put those two words in the same sentence, what the hell, right? The Liberal government says it plans to introduce legislation later this fall to regulate vaping. Health Canada says the move will balance the need to protect young people from nicotine addiction while allowing adult smokers to legally buy vaping products and e-cigarettes to help quit smoking or as a potentially less harmful alternative to tobacco. So they're going to include this in the tobacco laws, even though there's no tobacco in it. E-cigarette appeal to teens needs federal regulations to curb use. Most minors don't have an easy access to e-cigarettes, Health Canada study indicates. In a statement Tuesday, the department says it is also renewing the federal tobacco control strategy for 1 year, giving the government time to develop its new long-term plan. The strategy was introduced in 2001 and lasted and renewed 4 years ago. Health Minister Jane Philpott will host a national forum early next year to discuss the future of tobacco control. In addition, federal work continues on the proposal ban on menthol cigarettes, as well as a commitment to introduce plan and standardized packaging requirements on all tobacco products. Yet we don't label GMO products here. We don't ban GMO products here. We don't keep the GMO products or the fluorides out of the hands of the so-called vulnerable children. But we're gonna regulate non-tobacco products under tobacco. Well, because we can. We're the legal system. Smoking tobacco is the leading cause of preventable death in Canada, affecting the well-being of all Canadians, including youth, Philpott stated in a press release. The government of Canada is contributing to continue to explore new and better ways to address smoking in Canada and its impact on the health of Canadians. I am proud of the progress we've made so far, and I look forward to working with our partners and stakeholders, that's the UN and the WHO and so on and so forth, to ensure Canada remains a leader in tobacco control. We're the most leader country without a leader the world's ever seen. We want to be the leader in green energy. We want to be the leader in the end of use of fossil fuel. We want to be the leader in cutting out non-tobacco products that we somehow are going to regulate under tobacco, even there's no tobacco in them, group of people. This is, man, they're concerned for us here in this country. Several provinces and municipalities have already brought forward measures on vaping, but federal legislation is required, said Rob Cunningham, a senior policy advisor at the Canadian Cancer Society. It's clearly something that needs regulation, he said in an interview. We don't want kids to be using these cigarettes. Well, they're not really cigarettes, right? I mean, I think cigarettes... if I'm wrong, I don't know exactly what the meaning of a cigarette is even. My understanding of what a cigarette is, it's a paper tube full of tobacco, but hell, what do I know? I could be completely wrong on that. So, seeing as so many words that I thought I knew the meaning of, I didn't. And I want to thank Etymology for being around in order to continue to tell me how really stupid I am. Oh, just before I do that, now dedicated, the Queen dedicated the land, right? Or William dedicated on behalf of the Queen Crown Corporation. So dedicate, early 1500s, is of the churches, and that would be the Church of Rome. Not the Anglican Church, which they call the Church of England, because England is under the rule of Rome and always frickin' well has been. Anyways, that's just another little scam they pulled over. And it means consecrate, proclaim, affirm, set apart, away. Now, when you look at away, it says on from this place, let's see, without delay, far away, right away, onward in time, intensive use. So anyways, they're moving it away from our touch, basically. And we're not going to be able to do anything about it. But this idea that the Queen, for crying out loud, is somehow just a figurehead is a freaking joke. Okay, let's see. Let's see. 1835 American English from French cigarette. 1824 diminutive cigar or cigar. So it's a little cigar. Okay. And that's all it is. It's a little cigar. Yeah, it's a small cigar. So it's tobacco. So they want to ban these oh, that's interesting. Smoke. It says cigarette. From smoke. Also opium. Meaning a spell of smoking tobacco. So it's a spell of some sort. I guess that's a spell they put on us when they were selling them the first time. But anyway, that doesn't really matter. What does matter is that they are bringing down legislation for cigarettes, which are little cigars, and the fact of the matter is e-cigarettes and vapors are not cigarettes. We don't want these kids using these cigarettes, which are little cigars. Well, they're not little cigars, because little cigars are made out of tobacco. Revised tobacco legislation must address not only e-cigarettes, but topics such as new industry marketing tactics, water pipe smoking, and regulation on marijuana, he said. There's a whole bunch of new issues that have suddenly made the tobacco issue more complicated, and that's why the new strategy has to be done right. The government says an estimated 87,000 Canadians, including many young people, will become daily smokers this year, placing them and others at risk for developing a variety of diseases and illnesses. Smokers of what? Tobacco or e-cigarettes? You don't qualify that. Canada was the first country to introduce graphic warning labels to inform people of the risk of smoking. The government bills itself as a pioneer in the restriction of tobacco advertising and flavoring to reduce the appeal of products. So that's another first, right? First in windmills, first in this, first in that, first in this. We're so far up the UN's ass. But then we're subjects of the Queen Crown, and they are all part of the final empire. So I guess our little puppets here that call themselves the prime ministers, who all do the bidding of the Queen, because we know they do, because they go to the Privy Council. The cabinet ends up in the Privy Council, as does the top justices. And holy crap, a lot of time. Oh shit, I forgot something. Everybody, go to bed tonight, say your prayers. Chris has to go to court to make sure I'm carrying the one that wouldn't chuck his ass. Selling lies and buying time, home, killing people next to them. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn.